Hello, I'm Karen Guglielmo, Senior Editor, and here is a roundup of the news, tips, and other resources you'll find this week on SearchSMB.com. A new report out earlier this month finds that small and medium-sized businesses are diving deep into the software as a service or SaaS market. But on its heels is a report from another major research firm suggesting that SMBs may be kicking the tires, but they're not buying. In an article by news writer Seamus McGillicuddy, he asks, so which is it, boom or bust? It really depends on which side of the fence you're standing, said experts. It's a delivery model that has everything to lure SMBs, easy installation, low cost. But some SMBs say they still have issues with security and flexibility. According to Saugatuck Technology Incorporated, a Westport, Connecticut-based research firm, the percentage of businesses with one or more SaaS applications in place increased from 11% in 2006 to 26% in 2007. Growth among SMBs, defined as businesses with less than $1 billion in revenue, was even more dramatic. SMB adoption rose from 9% in 2006 to 27% in 2007. There are plenty of proponents of SaaS for SMBs, including Stamford, Connecticut-based Gartner Incorporated, which recently published a survey of SMB 2007 IT spending plans. But the poll shows that SMBs have some doubts about SaaS. According to Gartner, 45% of 307 U.S. SMBs said they don't trust their data to third parties such as SaaS vendors. Only 7% of SMBs strongly believe that SaaS was suitable for their organizations, and only 17% said they would consider SaaS when its adoption became more widespread. SMBs are control freaks, Gartner Vice President and Research Director James Browning said. They don't like giving up control, more so than large enterprises. It's just the culture. They have less applications and less data. That's their lifeline, and they don't want someone else messing up their data. Despite his firm's findings, Browning said he is seeing SMBs kick the tires on SaaS applications, such as online backup. But he said they are shying away from mission-critical applications. Despite few actual cases where the CIO or anyone within the IT ranks is fired because of a security breach, a new survey from King Research in Novato, California, found that 73% of the 256 IT workers polled are very concerned they will lose their job in the event of a security breach. More than half of the respondents were from medium-sized companies, according to an article by Senior News Director Kate Evans Correa. IT professionals are not confident with their present security measures, said Rob Meinhardt, CEO of Case Networks Incorporated, the Mountain View, California-based systems management appliance firm that commissioned the survey. About 65% of the respondents admit to not taking all the steps that they should, the survey found. So they're vulnerable, Meinhardt said. They're not taking the next steps to protect their own jobs. But the guys on the front lines aren't as empowered as they should be either, say experts, particularly in medium-sized companies where IT workers tend to be generalists. When you take a generalist and expect them to handle a complex problem with a complex tool, something is going to fall through the cracks. Experts say the CIO is often the first executive to be called to task for any IT security violation, despite the fact that the problem with security generally involves a number of departments. But the problem at many companies is executives don't know who to blame because they haven't assigned responsibility for risk, experts say. In the mid-market world, I would imagine that fear among the rank and file would exist. That seems logical. Whether it's your only job or one of eight things you do, someone is responsible for keeping data security, said Jack Phillips, managing partner of the Institute for Applied Network Security in Boston. Still, he said, he believes that everyone, for one reason or another, feels insecure about his or her job, and what most will discover, that if the axe falls, it won't necessarily be because of anything they did wrong. More often than not, it will be a classic case of peeling back the onion until you get to the kernel, he said. The U.S. Senate's thumping 62-35 defeat of an amendment to exempt certain small and mid-sized businesses from compliance with Section 404 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act made for good political theater this month, reports senior news writer Linda Tucci. Democrats stuck up for the American investors, decrying the Republican-led amendment as an attack on shareholder protections. Republicans countered that SOX is crippling American businesses and preventing them from competing in a global economy. The amendment offered by Senator Jim DeMint, Republican from South Carolina, on April 24th, would have made compliance with Section 404 optional for companies with total market value of less than $700 million. The political posturing doesn't mean much for small and medium-sized businesses, analyst Michael Rasmussen said. For less heat and more light on the requirements of the law, publicly traded SMBs will have to wait another month or so for the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission and its partner in compliance, the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, to approve their long-promised revised guidelines and new accounting rules. I think it's par for the course now that SOX is here to say, said Rasmussen, who covers compliance at the Forrester Research Incorporated in Cambridge, Mass. The SEC and Public Company Accounting Oversight Board are working to more tightly define the scope of SOX. That is where companies will find the relief. The Public Company Accounting Oversight Board spokesperson Michael Sukuo said the board, which proposed new auditing rules in December, aims to get final board approval by early summer, but no date has been set. Up to now, smaller public companies, usually those with just less than $75 million in public equity, have not been required to comply with Section 404 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. That section requires that a public company's management file a report on its assessment of the company's internal controls over financial reporting, including the financial work that passes through IT. It also requires the company's auditors attest to the quality of the company's internal control over financial reporting in the auditor's annual report. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, itself has recognized the compliance challenges for smaller companies. Smaller companies typically don't have full-time financial controllers. Managers in smaller companies have a broad span of control, and this could lead to management override of financial controls. And smaller companies are more dynamic and don't have well-documented processes. Your company may have a lot of work to do to produce a report that makes investors feel confident about your numbers, even if you are the most honest company. The SEC has given smaller companies and their auditors more time to prepare, but time is almost up. Companies with fiscal years ending on or after December 15th will have to start complying. IT is an integral part of the compliance, especially for processes and systems that touch financial controls and reporting. In his monthly column, expert James Champy suggests that CIOs of smaller public companies begin talking to their CFO about the controls that need to be operating within the shop and what attestations the CIO will be asked to make. It's also the CIO's job to be alert as information passes through the processes and systems. Are expenses proper, or do they violate a policy of your company or an ethical principle or the law of the land? Is revenue being appropriately booked, or is a sales organization getting ahead of itself in what it's reporting? These are the areas that have gotten most companies into trouble. So in a practical sense, be sure that your company has the processes and systems in place to expose a wrongful deed. All of these articles, tips, and other resources are available this week on searchsmb.com. I'm Karen Guglielmo. Thanks again for listening.